We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Last month, when MLB announced the penalties to the Houston Astros, I issued an apology to our fans and the city of Houston. I want to say again how sorry our team is for what happened. I want to also repeat that this will never happen again on my watch. You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it. No, I don't think I should be held accountable. I'm here to correct it, and I'm here to take this team forward with Dusty and James. And as I said, it won't happen again on my watch.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Wow. One of the most dysfunctional press conferences I've ever heard, starting with an owner. Jim Crane, owner of the Houston Astros, just an absolute embarrassment. Everybody was worried about his players and what they would say. And this comes out. It was just absolutely a disaster for that organization. Here's a guy that bought a baseball team. I'm guessing he's a little bit hands-on there. If he doesn't think that if you know a fastball is coming or a breaking pitch is coming, there's no reason they would have put that technology into it to do it to start with. To think that it didn't help and didn't make a big difference is one of the clueless comments I've ever heard from an owner. And we've had some dumbass owners.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Jeffrey Loria down here, who's one of the greatest ass clowns of all time, one of the most hated human beings in the history of sports down here. Check that. He beat out Castro in Cuba.
For a slappy like me, yes. If I knew a breaking ball, a curveball, a fastball was coming, I'd probably still miss it. But I don't get paid hundreds of million dollars to hit a ball. If you look at the pitchers, the ones that play in the MLB right now that came out and said, I would much rather face somebody that's juiced up than somebody that knows exactly what I'm throwing.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian, you just look at the whole thing and some of the comments. Altuve didn't look great either.
He looked horrible.
One of the great players in baseball. A second baseman for the Astros, had a great career, but he looked bad too. Looks like and they were like, whatever the league found, that's what we're guilty of. And you're like, okay, so what are you saying? The league didn't get to everything?
Exactly.
I just feel like, first of all, nobody believes anything they say. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm remorseful. Okay, I get it. That's a start. That's what you got to do. A lot of people didn't believe that when they said it. They were like, yo, okay, you guys were told you had to say it, and so you're doing it. But there's just anything they say at this point, nobody's going to believe it. There's a lot of people think there's still a lot more to this story throughout the organization, by the way. The fact that the players weren't more credible about this whole thing, didn't take more responsibility for it, it all fell. Bottom line is everything basically fell on A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
He was a fall guy. He's not there. He's gone.
So then we can just go ahead and kick him while he's down because he can't speak. But my thing is this. You guys aren't kids. But the only reason you're apologizing is because you got caught.
Right.
Other than that, we would have never heard a peep.
Oh, they'd be
from
doing
you
it.
Guys.
They'd be doing it
again.
They'd
still be doing it.
We'd be in the opener there. We might even hear a little bit of it in West Palm in spring training, just getting the system ready to go.
All of a sudden, hear a can slap.
Boom, boom. Yeah, ready to go. All right, little breaking pitch coming. Let's get used to those calls again.
Getting the new guys adapted to the system.
It was bad. Players got a hall pass on this, but I agree with you, man. They're not teenagers. They're grown-ass men. They know right from wrong, and they knew what they were doing. Some of the guys did come out and say, listen, man, we knew. I heard everybody go, I should have stopped it. When I knew about it, I didn't do it. I heard that over and over. I knew we were doing it. I knew it was wrong. We should have stopped. I mean, it's the one regret I had. I didn't stop it. So anyway, it was a bad look. It's not going away anytime soon. It was really interesting hearing the comments of the handful of guys that cover baseball for a living nationally. And the one thing was that, and we talked about 6 o'clock hour. Does this mean Astro players are going to be getting thrown at?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Whatever the record is for a team getting hit by a pitch, I'm going to take the over.
That will be a message sent without saying anything. This is what we thought of what you guys been doing.
Facts.
And so that's what we're going to do. By the way, how about this? I said it yesterday. If Fires doesn't come out and talk to somebody in the media about this, apparently everybody in baseball knew when we're making adjustments, like, hey, here's what they're doing, because their players over the last few years have gone to other teams. It's not like they've had the same team since 2017. So there's guys throughout going, hey, I was on that staff. I was one of the players on the roster there. Watch out, man. Watch out. And then you start telling your buddies. Everybody says, hey, when you're pitching there, when you pitch in Houston, heads up. Nobody wanted to rat, though. Nobody wanted to come out and rat. Like, nobody in baseball would rat. I guess there were things said. People were aware of it. But nobody did anything about it until Fires comes out and talks to somebody in the media. And then it became a big story. Like, enough's enough.
See, I actually give the guy props. You know, a lot of people gave him flack for saying it. But here's my thing. Most people would have said it as anonymous source says this. Anonymous player says this. He goes, you know what? No, I said it because I don't like what they're doing because it's cheating to get a ring. And I don't think that's, you know, people call it ratting and stuff like that. I think it's completely different because if you play the sport and you know you're getting cheated for a ring that you could potentially win, you could be pissed off at that kind of stuff.
Well, I agree with you on that, but there are people that think should have taken it to the team and the team should have taken it to the league and done it that way without getting the media involved. And there were. There were some people that do games for a living that called him a rat. There were some former managers that really got after him. So I'm curious to see what it's going to be like for Mike Fiers this year, who's in the Oakland A's pitching staff, and what happens there. Yeah, people actually mad at him. He's like, hey, man, I'm tired of getting pitched and other people pitching. And you throw something, and the guy's sitting there waiting for it, knowing you're throwing a breaking pitch at 88 miles an hour. He sits on it and hits a 40 rows up in Houston.
All right, think about the guys that get reassigned to AAA because they had a bad outing against the Astros.
Yeah.
You know, you already have one pitcher that's coming out filing
a lawsuit
because, hey, man, I lost wages because you guys hit me up for 8 runs and I got demoted the next week. Like, I want to see how many pitchers come out and do that because what's worse, you ratting or you filing a suit against your fellow MLB players?
Yeah, I always wonder about the whistleblower. What do you hear when you, like, how Astros whistleblower Mike Fiers is trying to move on.
Yeah, see, I don't like the headline. Like, that to me, like, that's making him look out,
yeah,
make
like,
worse.
Like, I know nobody wants to hear this. It's, I don't know, did you ever read Jose Canseco's book?
I did not.
Juiced and stuff, and he put names, and he was angry the way baseball ended for him, and he was really mad, and he just went in with everybody he knew was doing steroids and put names in there and just, you know, and all the names in there were legit. As time went on, we found out they're all guilty. But there are a lot of people mad, like, you did a book, bro. You're a rat.
Yeah.
You ratted out players.
But you also,
they were all doing illegal things. McGuire's hitting the ball. Sosa. You know the whole group. But, yeah, so I'm always curious with Mike Fiers how this is going to be for him this year.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as Canseco because he didn't profit off of ratting.
That's true.
Right. Canseco made a book. He did a book tour. He probably made some good money off of
this.
He's
got a lot of regrets, though, through the years because he realized a lot of guys.
You have to.
Guys and are like, dude, I want nothing to do with
you. Yeah, you have to. But so, I think Fiers would be a little bit less because you have the rest of Major League Baseball like, look, They cheated us. The Yankees, the Dodgers, everybody else, we should have won those
games. I don't think, by the way, that's a good point. I don't think Yankees are upset. I don't think Dodgers are upset with Mike Fiers.
At all.
I don't think those guys are that lost out on a potential ring in 2017.
No other fan bases are except the Astros. Every other fan base is like, you know what, appreciate it because we lost X, Y, and Z to them. We could have made the playoffs, but we didn't because look what they did at home against us.
So I give you another one. So a lot of people think, don't get mad, South Florida, Jose Canseco cleaned up baseball.
Yeah, but it's still going on. Let's just call it what it is. It's just they're doing it in different ways, right? As we advance, science advances. Technology advances.
So you think guys are still out there? No, I'm being naive. I don't know if I agree with that. You think that's still going on?
We just had a dude just get popped, 2 years ago? He got 80 games?
No. We got guys getting hit with.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting busted.
Oh, they're still
but
doing
But you
it?
Don't think guys are still doing.
Hell yes.
Huh.
Hell yes. Because, look, here's the thing. When you talk to any baseball player when it came to this sign-stealing thing, nobody was shocked. Nobody was surprised because they knew what was going on.
Right.
Same thing with steroids. Nobody's shocked or surprised when you say, hey, now you might not be taking steroids as people think. You might be taking
the cream, the clear,
You might be taking HGH. You might be taking a test boost.
Yeah.
There's way other things.
But these guys are getting tested a lot more for it. And the punishment, like you said, you're talking about half a season.
You got to get caught.
Second
though.
Time.
You got to get caught. Like, yeah, but because not everybody gets drug tested, right? It's random on each team. Kind of like football. Certain people get picked to get drug tested.
Oh, no, listen, man. I think our sport definitely has guys.
Oh, well, we know that.
We see the 4-game suspension all the time.
We know that.
PEDs. Especially with guys. I see it the biggest thing with guys having trouble coming back from injury.
Of
taking
course, recovery.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I call it recovery. And so I think the league looks at that like, hey, guy's trying to get back, and he took something to help him. And he goes, I know, give me my 4 games.
But that's when I talk to a lot of the baseball players and stuff like that. They go, listen, a lot of dudes, we have teammates that juice and stuff like that, but a lot of dudes take things to recover because their season is so long. They take things to say, hey, it feels like I just didn't do a 6-game road trip and now I'm back at home.
No, I like to tell everybody every day is opening day, the way you feel on opening day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so a lot of guys get through a whole season. A lot of guys are still taking stuff. It might not be quote unquote steroids, but it'll be things that are on the legal PED list.
Well, all of a sudden, I think everybody looks at the Astros. I can't even imagine what's going to be like. Can you imagine some of the creative signs they're going to get on the road this year?
I don't really watch baseball a lot, but I'm going to tune in some of those Astro games now just to see. Just to see.
You would think with all the PR firms out there that take care of crisis management for individuals as well as companies, that's what the Astros came out with yesterday. Had time, knew it was coming, knew that they were getting ready for this big day yesterday, and they came out with that crap show led by their owner.
Like you couldn't even do a cookie cutter, like let's do a question and answer right now between us and give you the hardest questions of what not to say and what to say.
Did you ever think about hiring somebody from the outside that deals with this stuff?
Yeah.
Deals with like stuff, companies going down, CEOs going down, we got a problem all over our company, and they put fires out. There are people that do this for a living, people you pay a lot of money. There's individuals that have done it that have had major crisis in their careers and have made every bad mistake. Hire people. A-Rod.
Doesn't it sound like Crane might just have a little bit of an ego
and might not
want that to do that?
I think you hit it right there. He wanted to do it his way. He didn't listen to anybody. Either that or he needs a new PR firm on that team. Because that group, they should all, if they were part of that, they should all be embarrassed.
Well, they should all be fired by now.
All gone and like, unless you get Jeffrey Lurie where it's his way and nobody listen and nobody else, he's going to do it the way he wants, takes the players he wants, doesn't listen to anybody, and you got a different situation. All right, we got another one coming up here in just a few minutes. Coach Quinville is going to join us, Florida Panthers head coach. A rough one last night, man. 6-2 loss to the Flyers. Second time they've lost the Flyers in the last 4 days. But that one was at home last night, and it was tough, man. It was tough to watch. A lot to get to with Coach. I feel like they're almost like on purpose playing bad before, so he can come on and he has to deal with us, man. Always a tough one. All right, Coach Q will join us next. We'll talk to him about his team. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Hey, This is a weekend. I love Friday. People go, why do you like Friday? I go, I like my days off, but I like telling everybody, now you got a little time to get out and see the 2020s at South Florida Chevy dealers. Now, while you're out looking around, you're looking at new cars, trucks, and SUVs, you want something that looks real good, but it's got to make sense for your family, right? It's got to have a price you can afford. It's got to have the latest in technology and safety features. Not just that, but how about fuel economy and plenty of space for you and your whole family? I'm all jacked up because the South Florida Chevy dealers just told me we got new Tahoes coming out. It's going to just like take it over, man, for SUVs. That's coming out in a few months. Silverado trucks, as hot as ever. We got the perfect truck for you and your family. Take a test drive this weekend and get the deal of your life. Suburbans. We got new Suburbans coming out in a few months. Wait until you see them, man, if you haven't. Boy, I'll tell you what, Camaros, Corvettes, I can go on and on. Find out what quality, dependability. We got 14 dealerships throughout South Florida. You're going to love the way you're treated. You're going to love the deal. Take a test drive. Spend some time at one of those 14 dealerships this weekend. I promise you, you are going to fall in love with your South Florida Chevy dealers.
The Coach Q Show on 560 to Joe is brought to you by Checkers Old Munchin German Restaurant. Brats, Wiener Schnitzel, potato pancakes, pretzels with mustard, and lots of German beer. You'll get it all here and more at Checkers Old Munchin German Restaurant in Pompano Beach.
All right, Coach Q joins us right now from the Florida Panthers, their head coach. Coach, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, guys.
Well, listen, we got a lot to get to. A lot of stuff happening last night. Not a great start. You have to bench your goalie after the first period. The defense in front of them wasn't anything special. It was just one of those nights. What frustrated you the most in general about the game last night that you didn't see from your team?
Well, I thought we had a decent start. We gave up a goal. I thought we were all right. And I thought when we gave up that second goal, we basically sagged, and we didn't pick up anything going on in the second period, and we gave up one more after that at the end of the first. So it was like, you know, you're down 3-0, and it's a at home, and it's a huge game, and then all of a sudden you got a huge hole to try to climb back into it. And our second period wasn't very good. That was where we figured we had to get something going. It was kind of one of those where our second periods lately have been very poor. And we didn't generate much in the third. We came back and got a little excited there. We got a couple quick goals and all of a sudden put ourselves back in the game. But, you know, too much of not happening much in the second period after a decent first, but giving up those two late goals in the first period definitely would slow us down. That was the difference to me in the game and losing everything momentum-wise in the game.
Coach, are you more frustrated with some of your defensive problems right now or more with Bobrovsky and the way he's played at times?
Well, I don't know if we can talk. I think it's, you know, we get as equally, you know, you can pass around blame. I think everybody should accept some of this responsibility because I think it's a team thing, and how you compete, you know, leads to doing the right things defensively. And, you know, so it's not just one area. I think the consistency of the playing the right way comes from playing hard and playing together. And I think the harder you work, the better the system works and the better your structure is.
So, Coach, before the All-Star break, it seemed like this team was just on a roll. You know, what do you think happened after the All-Star break that this team changed?
Well, I don't know if it was a defining moment, because I thought we came out of it the break with a, you know, feeling good, a couple good practices, and then just had a real tough game against Montreal, kind of a dead game. We were fortunate to pick up points in the next two. Since then, we've had some decent games. I thought we had three decent games in a row here at Pittsburgh, and then going on that road trip, the Philly game in Philly was all right. Not great, but okay. And then I thought we had a decent game in Jersey, but last night's game was one of those disappointing games again where we, you know, we got to find a way to get back. We're excited about playing. We play hard. We play together. We generate. We defend well. I mean, that's the, you know, and it's fun doing that, and you get a lot of excitement in your team game, and right now we got to find that feeling and to capture some of that, playing the right way and playing together, and I think that's, and playing hard for one another, that's what we got to find.
Well, Coach, you guys have been really good on the power plays, and then now all of a sudden the last four games you're 0 for 12. Have you noticed anything's changed, or the puck's just not going in, or what's been the biggest problem?
Now, a little bit about our game, our team game. I think we're, you know, whether we're not sharp or we're, we don't have our patience with possession, our relentlessly retrieving pucks or getting to the hard areas, those little things add up. And I think that, you know, I think when our power play clicks, I think it helps our five-on-five game. It helps our team game. But that excitement is something that, you know, we've had all year. And then when it goes dry, you know, it kind of filters in your, you know, possession game. And the guys, when they play together at their lines, and they, all of a sudden that confidence or that, you know, having a puck on your stick and doing the right things, it seems like it goes hand in hand. But we're, you know, you can feel it when the power play's not working.
Right.
And it really, you know, I don't mind that you don't score in the power play as long as you're generating stuff. But right now, I think our power play, we're losing some of the momentum in the game.
Coach, you've been around as the head man of for hockey teams for a long time. What do you think of players only meetings? You see, most of the time through the years, they work or not?
I think over time, I think that, you know, whether it's short term, I think that. There's, you know, whether how they do it, what they say, I think that's a, but the best thing is how they react to those kind of things. And I think that's all part of, you know, the game and the sport that it's a team. And we as coaches do everything we can. And as players, you know, there's some responsibility as far as competing and being proud about representing the team and the organization and the fans that come and see us play and root for us. And expect a hard effort every single game, and I think that's the least they should be expecting, and we should be delivering on that aspect alone. And so how it comes out, you know, to me, it's you can say anything you want. To me, actions speak way louder than the words.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Now, I played for a guy, and I know sports has changed, Coach. I know this. Don Shula was old school, where he'd call you out in front of the team. Not just in the team, nothing private one-on-one. It was just you got called out in front of everybody, so he knew. It worked. I always thought it worked. Like, damn, you got called out, but damn, that could be me too. Does that still work, that style, or do you have to be different now?
Well, everybody has their way of addressing situations. I know whether you individually call them out, whether you're, you know, you call them in there privately, whether you you know, how you get your point across, I think that's the message of trying to make sure that, you know, we expect more in situations. But I think over the course of the season, you'll be handling every situation, whether they're called out individually, when we're showing video, whether it's positive or not, is constructive. And so that's how we go about it. I think everybody's been guilty of being in some negative clips or some negative situations over the course of where we're at right now. And but there's some balance with the reinforcing in a positive way too. But I think that's all part of it, that, hey, we're all going to make mistakes. Hockey's a game of mistakes. And I think that how you learn, how you deal with them makes you a better team and a better player. And that's what we got to be at. And so delivery is part of it. And I think making them awareness to what's right and what's wrong is part of that. And I think that trying to present it as positive as you can is part of the, I guess, the delivery and the message and, you know, how hard you want to be. I think that the flavor changes based on how things are going.
You know, one of the players that's been under the microscope lately is Bobrovsky. You know, is it something that's in his, he's in his own head, and how do you get him back to top form?
Well, I thought he had a real good stretch there going into the break. Coming out of it, I thought he had some decent games. I thought last night was a tough game. You know, goalies are, it's a tough business knowing that you're the last line of defense and you know, expectations come with the game and the position. And we know the importance of goaltending between winning and losing. And I think that, you know, I think as a goaltender, you do what you're trying to do. He's very competitive. He's very methodical in his approach. And with Tells, I think that, you know, some games, you know, they're constantly evaluating, you know, goals that we should be expecting a save, and there's some goals that we should be expecting to be defending better, and we should be both absorbing some responsibility in that area, whether it's the coverage in front of them or the save that's been expected. I think we can be better in both, and, you know, I just think that's part of it right now. I think goalies get taught stretches over the course of the season. We're going to need them to get hot here because we know that we got to start winning games. And And goaltending's got to be a big part of that turnaround.
Coach, a trade deadline is coming up. You expect you and Dale to be talking about potentially adding a piece or two, whether it's defensively or backup goalie or trying some different things, or you think you stay with this same group?
We'll definitely be talking. We're definitely looking at ways we can improve our hockey team. That will definitely be under discussion and be visiting that as well. So it's a, I think going into it right now, whether you're looking at different areas, needs be, you'd probably be looking forwards, D and goaltender. I think that if we can improve our team in any of those areas, I think we will and can. And but that's where it's at. Dale's doing everything he can right now to look at options and possibilities. So we'll be going through that, Vince, and it's coming around here sooner than you think.
Right. Achari, how bad's the injury, Coach? You expect him back soon?
We'll know more here shortly. He's a tough kid. He's gone through a lot. He plays with a lot of different annoyances. Knowing him, there's a good chance he could be okay, and we'll see how he is for tomorrow, but there is a chance that he could play tomorrow.
Coach, I always wonder, you've been through the highs and lows of this game, so I know you've seen it all over and over, but when things aren't going well and you understand it's a tough push and not falling behind everybody, what do you like after a game like last night? What is it, I got to go in there, or no, I've been through this before, I'm just going to go in and talk to coaches and get the hell out of here.
You only get so many turns like that, right? You do it how you address the team between periods or after a game, and I generally don't address the team after the game. I think right now it's when you do, you make sure that. There's probably, I could have gone in there after the first period. I could have gone in there after the second period, after the game. I always feel it's better the next day. That's all part of, recognizing the team and where it's at. I think everybody was, can be frustrated. I hope there's nothing wrong with being PO'd, but at the same time, let's make sure that, that's a good thing. And how you come in today is going to be, let's move forward here. Toronto got beat last night. We didn't lose any ground in that fashion. But let's start doing our own thing here and controlling our own destiny here. We got to get some work to do, and let's find a way to get it done in a positive way.
Coach, as always, man, thank you so much for coming on, and appreciate it. Good luck coming up. Thank you.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Coach Quenneville, Florida Panthers head coach, joining us here on Sports Radio 560 after a really tough one last night, 6-2. And a lot of tough things going on, including your goalie. And talked about, listen, Brian, he got paid the big bucks to come down here, man, and more is expected of you.
Yep.
It's no different than anybody else, man. In any other sport, you come in here as a high-paid free agent in any one of our sports, any of them, and you don't perform.
You're going to hear it.
You're going to hear about it.
You're going to hear it.
Listen, he got paid a lot of money.
Ooh. Guaranteed.
And, and I know it's not all him, and he needs help in front of him and everything else, but he's also got to play better than what happened last night where he got benched after one period. Anyway, we got a lot more stuff to get to. It's Friday, man. It's Valentine's Day. I figured it wasn't a good time to ask Coach about Valentine's Day after last night. I am getting smarter as I get older. Finally, I'm finally starting to figure some things out here. It's probably a good idea. Hey, by the way, Valentine's Day is today. I didn't forget. Yeah, I know. No, I haven't done anything yet, but I'm going to Beverly's Jewelers right after work. My wife didn't listen to the show.
Hey, listen.
Greg, it's okay, Brian. She doesn't listen. I have not done anything. Yes, I am last second, and I can go to Beverly's Jewelers because they got something for everybody. No, they got a large selection of diamond engagement rings. I'm not going there for that. I'm going there for Valentine's Day. But for those of you that are like looking around trying to find the right diamond, they got GIA certified diamonds, and I mean a huge inventory of them. Boy, that's their specialty. Boy, whether you prefer a lab-grown diamond or identical to mine diamonds in every way, except they're about 40 to 60% less expensive. But boy, earth mined or lab-grown diamonds, whatever your choice, you get the Beverly's low price guarantee. You got a large selection, so you can get the diamond you want at the price you want to fit your needs. Listen, man, we're not trying to get you in there where you're broke when you walk out. No, that's not what it's about. So whether It's today. They got some for everybody. Diamond studs, tennis bracelets, necklaces, whatever you're looking for to score big and really says I love you for Valentine's Day. Hit up Beverly's Jewelers today. They got a lot of good things. Free gift wrapping, 12-month interest-free financing in Fort Lauderdale and Pembroke Pines. Beverly's Jewelers has been in business for more than 50 years. I've been going there for 30 years. Wouldn't go anywhere else because it's where South Florida gets engaged and goes for Valentine's Day. All right, hey, man, I love you, Biff, but you're going to have to slow down on this. And I know today is Valentine's Day and big one.
You're not feeling Kenny G right now?
No. Listen, you can just play the normal music. I still want to stay upbeat today. Feel like I'm getting ready to call my wife on the phone and tell her how much I love her right now or something, man. Come on.
It's helping you out, man. Brownie points.
Hey, listen, I get it. I get, and I only talk in my household. I'm not talking on behalf of all men out there that have done absolutely nothing for Valentine's Day yet today.
But that'd be me.
The beautiful thing about Valentine's Day is, so I leave so early in the morning, she's asleep, and I can pick some flowers up in a heartbeat, go by Beverly's Jewelers in a heartbeat, get something with a heart on it.
Because you love her.
Because I love her.
There you go.
And head home, a little dinner tonight, and I'm good to go. It can happen quickly. It's not something that's got to be planned out, except getting reservations at people are getting reservations at all their favorite places. So big night in the restaurant industry. Big night,
huge
man.
Huge night.
They are loaded with reservations for all your favorite places. But, yeah, my wife started a couple of days ago. You know, Valentine's Day's big. And really, we go through this every year.
Well, it's because they always...
I said, well, where does Valentine's Day fit in with, like, birthday and Christmas and stuff like that? Well, this is more one-on-one. It's important. So I said, okay. Well, good answer. I got it.
You know, they want to show off. They'll show off to the girls, their coworkers.
Want to go out. Go out a little bit tonight. Don't want to hear about I'm tired and I'm getting a little tired. Cause
you need to take a nap before.
No, don't. Yeah. Either that or suck it up, man. Not sure which one it's going to be yet today. But, yeah. Hey, by the way, we also, for everybody out there, want to let you know about 10th Annual Dolphins Cancer Challenge. February 29th, it's getting close. We need your help. We still want more people. Join the team at DolphinsCancerChallenge.com. Whether you want to get involved and come out and be involved, you just want to donate some money, we would love to have you. I know Nat Moore's having their Dolphins Cancer Challenge golf tournament today at Turnberry this morning. And so we appreciate anything anybody can do that's had a family member it's gone through cancer or lost a friend or anything else. We'd love to have everybody out there on February 29th to join us for the Dolphins Cancer Challenge, going to all that money, 100% of that money going to Sylvester. So we appreciate anything you can do between now and then as we continue to get out and try to get to everybody, man. Probably I'm terrible at going out and asking people for money. How are you at that?
I don't like to. I don't like asking for money.
So I don't like doing that. I say, hey, here's what's going on. This one's a little different because Jim Mandich was a big part of my life. And they started it 10 years ago because he was real sick with cancer at the time and passed. And so I feel a little better about this just because of that. And everybody really liked him. And he was such a big, big part of the organization as a player, as an announcer. And just in the community, so for everybody. So it's been nice for a lot of former players to really rally around it a little bit. So it's a good one. Hopefully get everybody out there and for everybody going to the golf tournament today. And we thank everybody for being involved, people like Lennar, Stuart Miller, who's just unbelievable in this community. He just does so many great things. We always appreciate all the stuff. First name I always think of, that guy comes through in just a huge, huge way. By the way, we got all kinds of stuff. We had a PR disaster yesterday. If you're ever and figure out how to handle a crisis on a team, in a company, or anything else, just watch Jim Crane, who comes across for owner of the Astros, one of the most clueless individuals. I don't know how he made all his money to buy the team. I just wonder, Brian, we've been talking about this because it really was. I mean, it was head-scratching funny last night. Like, does he get off and look at his people around him and go, how'd I do? And they go, the ass-kissers just go, oh, no, that was fine. I think we got our point across. Or does anybody go, that was one of the most dysfunctional moments in the history of baseball, what you just did?
Fired. That's exactly what we would say. You know, we talked about yes men and no men earlier in the show. He has yes men working for him. It just sounds like he's the type of owner that says, okay, no, that's not going to work. I want to say it like this. Yeah, but it's not. That's not how we should come off. Nope, but that's how we're going to do it.
You think his PR guys that are, he got tons, you listen, they got guys that handle the athletes all the time that are there working for the team. You think any of them had the basketballs to stand up and go, I got to be really honest with you, Mr. Crane?
No.
You were a friggin' disaster today.
No shot.
What you said, you were all over the board. It sounded like you felt you and your team did nothing wrong after all this stuff, and now you sound stupid thinking that knowing what the signal is and knowing what the pitch is that's coming in doesn't give your team an advantage. Like, are you kidding me?
No shot, because they had to do some type of pre-meeting before this.
For weeks.
To say, this is what's going to happen. Don't say this. No, Mr. Crane, you can't say that. Yeah, well, why not? It's my team. Of course I can say it. No, you can't say that. Well, I'm going to say it anyways. All right, well, you do what you got to do. We're trying to help
you
out.
Yeah, no. And by the way, those things that are written out by the team for the players, they're bad. And you see them all the time, right? See a guy go, hey, you got to go up in front of people. We wrote you something out. Are you good with this? It's pretty simple. It's quick. Don't expect you to be up there. But you got to get remorseful and I'm sorry in there. Hey, can just get those two in there. Say it a couple of times and we're good to go. It was just the whole thing. It got better in the locker room, or the clubhouse. Those guys stood up and they took it, and they were asked everything, body buzzer to you know, what do you think? And they knew about it, and it's not to blame one guy. We knew what we were doing. We made a mistake. We're sorry. It's just incredible, the whole story. It really is, if you think about it. This thing is just so crazy. But the owner, of all people, I would expected one of the players is not very educated to come out and have no clue.
Yeah.
Because every team's got those
Everybody's
guys.
Everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one of those guys, and going out, Tuve's got really no clue about this whole thing.
He doesn't.
So I understand that. But Jim Crane, like, you've been around companies. You've been around something to make your money. Like, how could you be this clueless? And I thought it was only Jeffrey Loria that could be this stupid, arrogant. What ego? He was all over the board. Like you just said, now you're saying something different. I mean, it was just amazing to see Brian, with everybody watching. This is one of the worst things that ever happened to baseball. This ranks right up there, man. This ranks right up there. This is blatant cheating. There are people coming out saying they should forfeit the 2017 World Series. Shouldn't go to anybody. No World Series winner.
You know, it's funny. I was on the stance of, yeah, what's the big deal if you take it away from them? They still celebrate it, still got the rings, the whole nine yards. After hearing this conference, I've now changed. I would like them to vacate the 2017 World Series. Don't give it to the Dodgers. Don't give it to the Yankees because, you know,
right.
We could say right or wrong, they didn't earn it, whatever you want to say, but take it away.
Right.
Because listen to what they're saying after they've gotten caught. It's almost like, ha-ha, we got caught, but we still got our championship ring.
Well, Brian, some of the players were good. If you watch, I couldn't turn it off yesterday. I wanted to see everything. I think we all like to see how people handle crisis, right? We like whether it's Kobe up there with the ring, you know, with his wife, which I've never been understand why when we screw up, we put our wife next to us.
Yeah,
we've had some coaches get caught in strip clubs and with a credit card and standing there and you know, and you got your wife. I need to apologize to my wife. I don't know why she has to be standing, sitting next to you, but we have had people do that through the years. But my God, there were some guys who were good, to be fair. There were a few guys that came out and said, hey, man, we knew it was going on. I knew it was wrong. And so, but we just, I do agree. We want blood, don't we,
yeah.
In the media?
There's going to be some blood this year, though.
Oh, no.
There's going to be some blood. I guarantee there's going to be some fights. It's going to be some fights with that Astro team because they're going to get hit by pitches and people are going to throw down because there's going to be pitchers that are pissed off and there's going to be players that, hey, maybe you kicked me out of the playoffs, but you cheated me. You couldn't beat me straight up as a competitor. One, you want the best from that team. You normally want that team to be completely healthy because you want to know that if I lost, I just lost to a better team.
Right.
But you also want to beat you straight up. Not cheating, not juiced up, just mano y mano, you beat me, cool. I can respect that and walk away.
So I heard this yesterday too. Yeah, I think a lot more than just the Astros are doing this. I said, man, this is where I get naive. I go, I don't think so, man. Like, this is a big cheat. Like, it's hard for me. Like, there's people in other organizations. There's got to be common sense. Like, now we've gone too far. Now. You start getting into, you don't think more teams are doing this.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
You are one of those people.
Yeah. Well, think about it like this, right?
I mean, you're the one sitting here telling me that players are still doing steroids.
Oh, I agree.
In baseball.
That. Oh, heck yeah. Oh, for sure. They're getting a competitive advantage however they can. Look, so.
But if you get caught.
You get caught. That's if.
Done.
That's what people think, though. If I get caught.
But it's got to be in the back of your mind.
Of course. Some people, but some people think they're bigger than life. Ah, I'm above that. I'm never going to get caught.
We see mostly minor leaguers get busted,
yes.
Right? We've seen that. But we have had some guys that, you know, have done it. We see, and baseball's coming down hard on guys now. Baseball's
games,
not playing around.
They're not playing.
They're doing this half a season crap now. Like, so it'll never, will you agree? It'll never be like it was where we had everybody looking like a middle linebacker.
Yeah, no.
Bonds. Like,
oh,
honestly,
man.
You could have lined up McGuire? Bonds and... McGuire and Bonds.
I'll even throw A-Rod in there when he was
and
juicing.
And so-so.
He was a
when
big
those
dude.
Guys got big. Not like those guys. My God, Bonds got, I mean, everybody's getting to 230, 240. Canseco, my God, that'd been a hell of a linebacking core right there.
Man, I met McGuire once when I was younger, you know, at training camp and stuff like that. Signs an autograph, and his forearm was like a thigh.
Huge.
I said, what is that? That's not even normal. Man, you're right. It wasn't normal. Come to find out, it really wasn't.
Man, that's crazy, crazy stuff, and we're in one of those right now. But I agree, man. I heard the announcer saying it yesterday, the guys that are covering the team saying, there's going to be a lot of guys throwing at a lot of Astros players this year.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of problems in the league with not letting this go, and their one way to get back is to throw at them. Here. I gave up 7 runs last time I was here in 3 2/3 innings. Here, this one's for you. Now that you're right?
Oh, listen.
Somewhere in the thigh to the buttocks to the back. Nice big red mark in the middle of the back there somewhere.
I can only picture one guy and his smile after he gave up that home run to Jose Altuve.
Oh.
And that's Aroldis Chapman.
Oh.
Because you know what?
He called out Altuve.
Of course.
But he called him out like grabbing. Why are you so worried about your jersey, having your jersey on?
But we all looked at it like, you know, he got criticized a little bit in the media when he was smiling, giving up the home run. But now we look back and go, we know why he's smiling because he's like, yo, he had to know exactly what I was pitching.
He jumped on this thing way too much for
way
as hard
too
as
much
I throw. Right?
For as much as I throw, there's no way – he hit it like that unless he knew it was coming. And that's kind of like the smile we think of now is like, yo, he knew it.
Yeah, Altuve's got a little work to do. There's no question about it. Hey, we got 8 o'clock hour coming up. Stay with us. A lot more stuff to get to here this morning. 56022. You want to check in on the text machine? We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.